go ahead. We'll be in our Bibles in Romans 12 again. This has become a pretty familiar passage to us over the last couple of months here. And what a blessing it's been, though, to the church. What a blessing it's been to me. I know that. But I have seen, as we've preached through this portion of Scripture, how God has worked and moved inside of the church in light of what has been preached that week even, and it's encouraged me to know that this is where God would have us. As I was seeking the Lord a few months ago on where we should go in Scripture, as I started to discern the will of God for the church and what He would have, what His desire would be for us to study through, He pointed me to this portion of Scripture. And it's one that I've known for a very long time, one that I've even preached out of, one that I've spent some time in, but it wasn't like it is now, to where He started to reveal things to me in this chapter as a way to encourage the brethren forward. And I believe that He's done that the last few months as we preach through the Scripture. And I've noticed it in your lives that whenever we first started this, what was kind of the mantra? It was to do the first things first again, right? To establish some of these first things. And so what did we do? We went here to this book of Romans, and there's some doctrine in these first 11 chapters that Paul, he gives to the first church here in Rome, and then he establishes some things in the body with this chapter here in chapter number 12 to show them the way they're to conduct themselves individually as a Christian, as a believer, but also how they're to conduct themselves within the church and then ultimately to the world, right? So they're sent out from the body to go do these things here that have been listed. And this morning is no different. We will continue to expositorily preach through this portion of Scripture. Obviously not exhaustively, because there's just no way that a man could do that in an hour on a Sunday morning. But if you would listen intently to get out of this what God would have. And we are talking about something that may even be misunderstood within the church. Some of you may even tune this out, but I can assure you that if you are living, breathing soul here today, you will find yourself in this position at least once in your life. I'm not saying that this isn't one that, you know, there are many that are going to do these things for the majority of their lifetime. And then there's others that seem to count themselves out for this. They don't think that this is them. And in reality, it is, because you have families to raise. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have people that depend on you. So with all of that being said, Romans 12, verse number 8, Paul is writing this to the church there at Rome, the first churches that were established. And that's where we've been pulling a lot of these encouragements from, a lot of the examples from, is from the old churches, especially in Acts, the first established churches in these regions. The reason why is because we need to do the things of the first churches. If we're going to establish the first things first, we should probably go to the first churches first. Romans 12:8, it says, "Are he that exhorteth on exhortation?" We studied that a few weeks ago. "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Studied that last week. This week is "he that ruleth with diligence." "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." If you want a title for the message this morning, it's "He that ruleth with diligence." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you that it is just a couple of words, but if you study this out, it has great depth, and that's just like your word and how it is. There's so much depth to your word, and just these five or six words right here can encourage, can uplift, can strengthen the body if this right here is done in the way and operated in the way that you intended. Lord, I pray that you would encourage the one that knows that they're in this position, that you would help the body to strengthen them. And Lord, I pray for your help to preach it. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He that ruleth with diligence. Paul in Romans 12 here, he's describing these spiritual gifts that have been given to the body of Christ. And you guys know that if you've been here for the last few weeks. I don't want to parrot this continually. These aren't roles or positions for pride to infiltrate. These are roles and positions that are to be stewarded with humility. This isn't for titles or for recognition, but this is how the body functions properly, that the church might live and grow and move as Christ intended the church to move. We've walked through these speaking gifts of exhortation and prophecy, and we've seen the gift of giving. We'll see mercy this next week, Lord willing. And now Paul turns to something that is often misunderstood within the body. And it's this portion of scripture here tucked in this verse in verse number 8. It's, "He that ruleth with diligence." This is the gift, the spiritual gift of leadership. The spiritual gift of leadership. And understand that. Like I said, there's not going to be everyone in the church that is going to have this gift or this ability of leadership or where God appoints them into a position of leadership. But every single one of us individually must lead our own lives. So this morning, you can't just shut your ears off to this. This is a message for you as well. See, this isn't worldly leadership as we would perceive it. This isn't leadership that demands attention, but this is spiritual oversight that labors for the good of the body. That's what this ruling is intended to do. The gift of ruling is the gift of guiding the body, instructing the body, keeping the body in line. That word ruleth, it carries this idea of standing before others to guide them. It's someone who takes responsibility for the direction and the care and the order of the church. And the early church, it needed this. It had to have some leadership for its foundation. And why? We can see it in Acts 6:1-3 as the church there in the book of Acts, it just starts to begin to grow rapidly. It just takes off. The gospel's being preached. There's people are being evangelized. Churches are popping up everywhere. And it's like a wildfire spreading throughout these countries. The churches needed to establish leadership pretty quickly. They needed leaders in the body. In 6:1-3, it says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring, talking about the widows being neglected in the daily ministration." So what were they instructed to do? The 12, they called a multitude of disciples unto them, and they said, "Look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." Something you also need to understand, it wasn't, "Hey, let's go find one man." Was it? Said, "Go find 7 men. Go find 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." What's that business? The daily ministration. The apostles, they recognized something important here. Growth requires leadership. If the church is to grow, if Rochdale Baptist Church is to grow, we need men to step into positions of leadership to make sure there isn't chaos and confusion in the body. We need men and women alike to step up into position. Leadership in the church is not about authority for its own sake. What is it about? What have all of these gifts been about? Stewardship, those are great answers, but it's about stewardship. It's stewarding these gifts, right? So this isn't authority for its own sake, but this is a stewarding of leadership within the body. The church needs stewarded because somebody must go and feed the widows. They must ensure that the widows are being fed. There must be somebody to organize the labor to do that. And there must be somebody to ensure that the work continues faithfully. There must be leadership within the body. That's what the spirit of he that ruleth is talking about. Leadership in the church is service. It's not status. In a world like we live, it is often that the leaders are the ones that seek to be served. And Jesus, he flips this entirely on his head whenever he says in Mark 10, 42 through 45, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And he goes on through and he said, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you be the chiefest shall be servant of all. The ruler in the church is not the man with the biggest title. It is the man, though, that will carry the heaviest responsibility. Men in leadership, they lose sleep over the flock. They pray over decisions. They bear burdens that others never see. They bear the burdens of others. Leadership in the body of Christ is not a throne. It's a yoke. And those whom God gifts to rule feel something burning inside of them, and they should, because it should be a burden. They have a burden to organize within the church. They have a burden to protect the church. They have a burden to keep the work of the ministry moving forward. That's leadership in the body, and this body needs leadership. Rochdale Baptist Church must have leadership. This isn't a clique. This isn't for notoriety. This is to govern the body of Christ. Now, understand, with this call, the Apostle Paul, he doesn't just simply say rule, does he? How does he say it? He gives a command at the end. He that ruleth with diligence. Diligence means an earnest effort, careful attention to the matter, and persistent labor in the work. That doesn't sound like somebody lazy. That doesn't sound like somebody that's self-imposing sin and self-imposing will. Leadership in the church cannot be careless. It's something that the early apostles understood whenever they went to appoint men, but they also understood in the ministry. That's why in Acts 6:4 he says, they say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They appointed other men over the business and the feeding and taking care of the widows and the fatherless so they could give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Leadership must have the ability to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word and to fasting to lead the body. That means the body also must step up into positions of labor to work the gospel. We need help. Men in leadership need help within the body. That's the reason why these gifts are given the way they're given. He's given us examples. And then he shows us in the first churches these examples played out. We have no excuse to mishandle this. We have our instruction. This is the way they built the church. This is how it happened. It isn't the modern Americanized church. That's not what we want here at Rochdale Baptist Church. At least I hope not. Now, we may have ability to do some things ministry-wise to draw people in, and I don't think we necessarily forsake those things, but at the same time, we really need to understand that the power of God came down upon the first churches for a reason. It's not the facade. It's not the entertainment. It was the Holy Spirit of God convicting and saving souls. And it's because men were given to prayer and to the preaching of the word faithfully. Because they also had help in the church. They didn't have to do everything. There was those that labored and strengthened the church. That's why these gifts are listed the way they're listed. He says, give ourselves continually. That's diligence. It's not to lead occasionally. And I know these are things that I say often and I continue to say them, but I want it to sink in deep to the heart. They didn't lead occasionally. They didn't lead whenever it was convenient What did they do? They devoted themselves to the work entirely, because leadership affects the body entirely. You're responsible for your brothers and sisters. Do you understand that? We're responsible for one another. But leadership is responsible for the body. They're to devote themselves to the work. When leadership becomes lazy, the vision of the church starts to fade. The order of the church starts to collapse. And there's this murmuring and discouragement that starts to spread throughout the body. But whenever leadership is diligent, the church moves forward. Those gifts that we've spoken of the last few months, they flourish because they're stirred up within the body. And the work of God advances and moves forward. And the gospel is preached even to the uttermost parts of the earth. The early church, it shows us leadership in action. We have a great example from the early churches of how we are to conduct ourselves within the body, but especially our leadership. As the church grew, they appointed men over offices for a reason. They needed to establish some of these things so things didn't fall down and get missed. As this church grows here at Rochdale Baptist Church, because that is my prayer, and it should be yours, that souls would come here and hear the preaching of the gospel. This doesn't have to be a clique. It doesn't have to be a club. This should be a place where we go out, preach the gospel, evangelize the lost, and they come here for sustenance, for food, for encouragement. We need to get busy about the business. But we'll need men of leadership. That's men of good rapport. That's men that are honest. There are some criteria for these men. We're not just going to appoint somebody willy-nilly and say, now go get them, buddy. These need to be men that are men that are called to leadership. We must discern it as a body. But as the body grows, it is essential for the growth. We must have leadership in place. We have to. Not one man can take the brunt of all of this, and they shouldn't. In Acts 15, the church, it faced this crisis about the law and Gentile believers. And there's this discussion that takes place. And James, he finally stands up in leadership, and he tells them in Acts 15, 13 through 14, he says, men and brothers, says, hearken unto me. Talks about how Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. James, he listened to this. He weighed the matter of what was taking place, and then he took and he pointed the church back to Scripture. And then he gave direction. That's what ruling with diligence looks like. He listened and weighed prayerfully, and he discerned the Scriptures, and he pointed the church back to the Scriptures, and then he gave direction based off the Word of God. It wasn't impulse. It wasn't carelessness. It was thoughtful and prayerful leadership. And that's what protects the unity of the body. Prayerful leadership that knows and discerns the will of God and the Word of God is what will continue to protect the unity of the body. Now, there is a danger for those that are in this role, and it's much like the giver, if you guys were here. What is the danger of the giver? There's pride. The danger of the giver is burnout. Just like those with that gift of giving, these in leadership can also burn out. They become overwhelmed. They carry pressures that many others don't see. And even Paul, he spoke about this in the second letter to the Corinthians there. And chapter 11, verse number 28, he says, beside those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul had a burden for those churches. He had a burden for the churches that even his sons in the faith were now establishing and leading and pastoring, and they were picking out men as deacons, and these churches were growing like wildfire. And yet here he is imprisoned, and yet he still has this burden of these churches, that the care of all the churches would be met. This care of the churches that sat on the Apostle Paul's shoulders daily, something he couldn't shake. And that's what leadership feels like within the church. You should have a burden for the body. It should overwhelm you even at times. There must be mourning and weeping, but there also is rejoicing with those that rejoice. But leadership within the body is not an easy thing to uphold. It's weighty on the shoulders of the men that do. There's a lot to it, because leadership, it feels responsible for whenever the church is struggling. It feels responsible whenever you see your brothers and sisters starting to drift away from the Lord. It isn't zealous anymore. They start to just not do the things they used to anymore. And it's a burden, because they feel responsible whenever problems arise within the body. The problem is that leadership, if they're not careful, they'll begin trying to carry everything themselves. But God never intended leaders to do all the work. That's why they went out and they activated the body. Leadership exists to activate the body. What did they say? He said, go give me 7 men. What else did he say? He said, go look out among men that have good report. Give them that ministry. Let them take care of the widows. Let them take care of the business. Let them take care of the daily things. And let us go pray and preach the word. Leadership exists to activate the body. The other thing, too, that you need to know, if this is the way God has gifted you, and you know that he's calling you in this direction, there are some critiques, but there's also things that you need to know and understand. Leadership helps the other gifts work within the body. Most leaders are also exhorters. See, Romans 12, it's not describing some isolated talents within the body. It's literally giving us an example in describing how the body functions together. So the ruler is the one who organizes the things, gets the ministry going, gets the people encouraged and behind it to move it forward. And then what happens? The giver steps in and supplies the needs. The teacher steps in and instructs. Do you see the pattern of what's happening here? We must have these things. The exhorter, they step in and encourage the teachers and the leaders. The one that shows mercy comes in and comforts the body. Leadership does not replace these gifts. What leadership does is it coordinates them and then encourages those that have it to be good stewards. The ruler says, here is where the need is, and they appoint. Suddenly, the giver, they step forward. The merciful step in. The workers in the church, they begin to serve in the ministry. Good leadership, it unlocks the gifts of others, and it stirs them in the body. Now, we obviously have a perfect example of this in Jesus. And in Hebrews 13:20, it says, now the God of peace, and goes on through it talks about brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, he leads his people with perfect diligence. He never sleeps. He's not a man. He doesn't need to sleep. He's ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, and he leads his church with perfect diligence. He gives instruction. He teaches through his Spirit. Jesus, he never sleeps. He has never forsaken or neglected his flock, and he never abandons his church. Every earthly leader ever appointed within the body of Christ was appointed under Jesus' authority. We're not the head. Jesus is the head. Leadership simply guides the body under his direction. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. The church needs men and women whom God has gifted to rule with diligence. These are going to be people that care deeply about the work of God. They take that responsibility seriously. They take souls seriously. They labor so the body can function properly. And it's, again, it's not for recognition. It's because they have a burden for the church to continue in the work of the Lord. When leadership functions as God intends leadership to function within the church grows and grows stronger. The gifts in the body flourished, and Christ is exalted and glorified. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done directly and in order. God is not the author of confusion. One of the ways that he keeps his church in order is through those whom he calls. He says, he that ruleth with diligence. Rochdale Baptist Church needs leaders. We need men to step into position. We need ladies to take classes and ladies to encourage and ladies to step into ministry. Rochdale Baptist Church needs leaderships because once this church starts to grow, we need some of these things established. We don't want to be caught with, so to speak, our pants down. We want to have these things established. Men and women need to be praying about these things. Because there's going to be men and women and children that walk through those doors. God's going to save souls. And what are we going to do? We need to know. That's why I believe the Lord has had us in Romans like he has for the last almost 3 months now, maybe going on four. It is to reignite some of the first things. Yes, absolutely. Going back to your first love, going back to the first work. Absolutely. That's what that encouragement is. And I see it among you. I'm watching it in your life. I'm watching the Lord start to deal with hearts here, and it's an encouragement. But at the same time, some of these things need to start to be put in place in the church. We preach through these speaking gifts. We're now preaching through giving, and we're preaching through exhortation. We're preaching through these things for a reason. It's because we need to establish these things in Rochdale. We need to have them here. And I believe that that's what the Lord will do if we'll let him, if we'll surrender, because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to take Brother Matt being surrendered. It's not going to take Brother Brian being surrendered or Brother Keith being surrendered. It's going to take you. It's going to take all of us. And I hope that if I get out of line, there's leadership in the church that says, hey, brother, here we go. We need it. We need leadership in the body. There must be. But this isn't authority. And that's something we need to understand. This is something that's done in humility. And if it's not done in humility, it can be damaging. We need to be careful. But at the same time, we need leadership. Because what it does is it takes the burden off of those that are in the pastorate, off of those that are at the deacon. Those are things that need to be appointed to men that are of good rapport, men that are faithful to do that work. So let's be praying about that. As I really consider this, it's something that we need to be prayerful about. We need to pray that, you know, God shows us, makes it clear to us, leadership within the church, makes it clear to us, even our teachers, makes it clear to us, the officers. Like, we want the right people in the right positions. Now, do I fall on my sword for things that are, you know, not gonna necessarily affect us doctrinally, or maybe, you know? But I think that, again, is we need to discern. We need to know the voice of the Spirit. That's one of the biggest things that I noticed, too, whenever I preached a few weeks ago, whenever they sent the men out. What did they do? The whole church heard the Spirit of God speak. Imagine that kind of unity within the body. That the whole body hears the Spirit of God speak, and we go, yes, Lord, we'll do it. We're not just living our life separately, right? But whenever we come here, not only here in this building, but we realize in our everyday life that we're a part of the body of Christ, and how much our individual lives affect that. God sees those things. You can't hide them from him. And then we come to church. You know what I mean? I'm just as guilty as you guys are. I'm not standing here as a judge. But he is looking for those that are diligently doing these things. It's one of the things I said a couple weeks ago. God's not going to use an idle man, an idle woman. He might. He can do whatever he wants. But everything I typically see, and especially in Scripture, and especially in the lives that I'm watching, it's the ones that are working in the ministry. It's the ones that are reading their Bible. It's the ones that are fasting and praying that God is using. Why? Because they know his word. They hear his voice. They're sensitive to the call of his Spirit. So we need leadership in the body, but let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we get to spend together. And Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that this is an encouragement to them. I pray that they would seek these things out. Not everybody is going to be in leadership in the church, and there shouldn't be, because we need laborers. We need givers. We need exhorters. We need men and women in this church. But Lord, those that you have started to press upon their hearts with these things, Lord, I pray you make it clear. Make it clear to our body. Make it clear to them that they would know and just walk in these things and start to devote their lives to it. Once and for all, just devote themselves wholly to these things and see what you do in their lives, and the way you work and use them in the church. I do pray for these men and women that you would raise them up and that others would see it, Lord, and we would be a help to them. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that you would send souls here, Lord, that they would hear the preaching of your gospel. And Lord, as we go out throughout the week, that we'd be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.